I entitled today's message, Another Insight on Iniquity. But then I wanted to put the title in parentheses. Parentheses don't go so well in the internet on things. They have meaning to HTML, so you have to be careful. Anyway, inside the parentheses, I write the word greater, question mark. Maybe you will agree with me that we have a greater insight into iniquity after today. Today's parashat is Re'eh. It begins in Deuteronomy chapter 11, part of chapter 11. But before then, let me quote from 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 7. For the mystery of lawlessness, in the King James Version, the Greek word there is translated iniquity. So in the King James, it says, for the mystery of iniquity. In the TLV, in the majority of modern translations that are chosen to use more accurate language, lawlessness. Lawlessness, he says, means anomia. It's in Greek, anomia. And anomia means antinomos. Anomos is the Torah. So the English word here would be anti-Torah. Okay? That's what it's the correct translation. But the mystery of anti-Torah, Torahlessness, okay, is already operating. Indeed, it is. Only here is one who holds back just now until he's taken out of the way. Today's parashat begins verse 26 of chapter 11, and it says in the Hebrew, Re'eh. It's translated, see or behold. Behold, I am setting before you today blessings, which is in Hebrew bracha, and a curse, in Hebrew kelala. Verse 27, the blessing is if you listen. The word there in the Hebrew is tishma, which is the future tense of shma, second person. So it's second person is the causative. Second person future is where you get the command form. So actually, this is a command form of shma. So he's saying, okay, if you obey the command, okay, the command, if you do that, okay, what? The mitzvot of Adonai, your God, that I am commanding you today. So now it makes even more sense. We erroneously say, if you shma what the Lord wants, you know, that we should say, if you tishma, correct Hebrew, but allow me to anglicize it a little bit. So if you shma, it's translated listen. In America today, listening doesn't mean obeying necessarily. But what shma means is if you prove that you heard by doing what it says. So if we now take that into account, here's what he's saying. If you prove that you have heard by doing what it said, what I said is the mitzvot of Adonai your God that I am commanding you today. So it's not out there somewhere. Those are being shared at this point. Verse 28, another 28, okay? But the curse, if you do not listen, if you do not tishma, it doesn't mean obviously if you do this, you don't intend to do it. But what this means is if you do not shma, if you do not do what was said, okay, that what was said is the mitzvot of Adonai your God, but instead you turn away from the way that I'm commanding you. By the way, the word the way right there is haderech. And haderech Adonai is Yeshua. He is the truth, the way, and the life, right? He said, I am the life. Ani haderech. That's how it's said in Hebrew. Okay? From the way that I'm commanding you today, to go after gods you have not known. That's talking about idolatry. I want to focus on Paul's writing. For the mystery of iniquity or lawlessness, that's already operating in the world. What is the mystery of idolatry, of lawlessness, iniquity that's already operating in the world? Well, let's try to get some help from Merriam-Webster. So Merriam-Webster states that the meaning of iniquity is gross injustice or wickedness. Okay? In other words, to me, this sounds like it's some pretty bad sin. Okay? It sounds like it. This sounds like an awful thing. And when you say wickedness, that's gross bad. Right? Gross injustice. But the question here, if iniquity means that, what's the mystery? There is no mystery. It's happening in our faces right now. It's blatant in our country and all around the world. There's gross sin. I mean, there's no mystery. It's happening in front of our faces. It's not hidden. It's happening. So I think that the Apostle Paul was implying something else. Is it just injustice and wickedness? Is that what he's talking about here? Let me throw some other scriptures at you that use that same word. In Psalm 51, okay, the psalmist is attributed to David. Psalm 51 said, "Behold, I was born in iniquity, and in sin when my mother conceived me." I was born in iniquity and in sin when my mother conceived me. That's Hebrew, okay? So the Hebrew for Psalm 51, okay, gets the word iniquity from the word avon. Not avon. Avon calling, avon, you know. The accent is on the O, avon, okay? And the Hebrew word that translated sin is the word chet. So in the Hebrew, there's two different words here, okay? I was born in iniquity, that's avon, and in sin, a different word, chet, when my mother conceived me. These are two different Hebrew words, and they're not synonyms of each other. These are not synonyms of each other. Now, in the English, it's translated as if it were synonyms, but they're not synonyms of each other. Okay? And even if we know that, there's some Bible translations, such as the Nearly Inspired Version, that's NIV, translate them both as sin. But chet is sin, but avon is not sin, it's something else. Okay? The word that's used is iniquity. Is it really likely that both of these words mean the exact same sin? Is the message there only about sin? Okay? Let me look at some more. Let me look in the Concise Hebrew and Aramaic Lexicon of the Old Testament. That's the title, but I don't like that title. Of the Tanakh, okay? So let's see what the scholars have to say about chet and have to say about avon. Avon is translated as an activity that is crooked or wrong. Look what else he adds. A conscious and intentional offense. A conscious and intentional offense. Okay? On the other hand, chet actually literally means to miss the goal. To miss the goal of the Torah. Okay? To sin against the Almighty is to miss the goal in Hebrew language. In fact, if I go get the Tanakh, that's the Hebrew scriptures, called the Tanakh, Torah, Nevi'im, Ketuvim, and then the first word is T and K. So then you got vowels on it so you can pronounce it instead of saying T and K. That sounds like, you know, TNT for TV. No. T and K, when you add vowel, add a little bit of noise in it to make it pronounceable, it's pronounced Tanakh. Okay? The Tanakh, which is the Hebrew scriptures, the Art Scroll, is the official Orthodox publication society. I have quite a few other books. Quite a few. In my library at home, I have quite a few of their books. We used to give the Tanakh from that Art Scroll makes, which is like a $60 book, about this big, to every bar mitzvah here as a gift. So they have a copy of the actual Hebrew, okay, translated in the way that the Jewish Publication Society would translate it. Okay. So if we take the Tanakh and read the text of Psalm 51, okay, you would see that the Tanakh uses the word fashioned. We were fashioned. No, it doesn't say created. It says we were fashioned. It's like it implies that something was being done with the hands, right? Like a piece of artwork that, like Jeremiah in Jeremiah 18, the potter, okay, that the hands of the potter are the Adonai, and the clay is Israel that's refusing to be molded in the hands of Adonai. So that kind of thing is there. I want to ask the question, therefore, using their translation, how were you and I, quote, fashioned in an activity that is crooked or wrong, with a conscious and intentional offense, so that we might miss the mark. Okay? So now that leaves some questions now. Okay? Now, when I use that kind of translation, which is more appropriate to what the Hebrew says, okay, there is a component that is just not at all when we first read it. Okay. In our reading today, we see, it actually begins by saying, see, observe, behold, I am placing before you a blessing and a curse. What's the blessing? If you shema to what I say, that's a blessing. What's a curse? If you don't shema what I say, then that's a curse. And he uses the word curse, kalala. Okay? It doesn't say it's bad. No, it says it's a curse, which is even worse than bad. Worse than bad. Okay? So in the reading today, the Lord basically is like placing a binary choice. Okay? On the one hand, you can observe, this is the same item is on both hands. On the one hand, on the right hand, is the mitzvot, the commandments, the word of God, and it's placed before you. If you then, you call it bread, the bread of life, right? The word of God is the bread of life. You take the bread of life and consume it, and it becomes part of you in everything that you do, there will be blessing. On the other hand, if you go, the same is presented on the other hand, the left hand. But you go, I'm not eating that. I'm not doing that. Then that action becomes a curse. Is there anything in the item that was being presented to you? It's the same item. It's the same bread, so to speak, right? The same word of God is being presented to you. You can choose to ingest the word of God, or you can choose to throw it aside and ignore it as if it were do what one of those monkeys does, right? Do this. Okay? That's what it's being presented there. Let me elucidate on that for a moment. Okay? What's happening is that the Almighty is presenting to us, okay, as if it were in the picture of two hands, a hand that you take it and eat it and a hand that you don't. The Word of God consume, or the Word of God not consume. And he's saying to you, it's your choice. My friend, that's what it's happening here. I would rather that you do it. But he's not saying, even though he's using a command form of the verb, he's not saying, if you don't do it, I'm going to grab you and force you to. Uh-uh. When it comes to anything that he has for us, there's always a principle. And that principle is called free moral agency. Free moral agency. What that means, okay, is that you have the power without his interference. You have the power, okay, to choose between life and death. You can choose life. You can choose to ingest God's word, to make it the bread of life and have life that comes out of God's word, or you can choose to throw it aside and not even worry with it at all. And that becomes like a curse to you. When the word curse is used, there are some people that have been created that's their expertise. Let me say that again. When the Bible uses the word curse, it's making a reference to the kingdom of darkness, because they are accursed forever. There are no options. There's no such thing as, you know, a purgatory for them. They were judged, and they are forever accursed. Their destination is the lake of fire, as if it were in the book of Revelation. They're not there yet, but that's where they're going. They're going to be there, and they're going to be held there for 1,000 years. And then they're going to be let go again for a little while, a time and a time and a half time, that kind of thing. Okay? But in today's believing world, this idea that the Almighty would curse somebody is like, no. No. Jesus is never going to curse us. Well, actually, read carefully. He's not the one doing the cursing. He's the one doing this. Okay? And he's explaining to you, here's the bread of life. And here is the same bread of life that if you throw it aside, you are cursing yourself. You become accursed. You are now away from the protection of the kingdom of heaven and being left unprotected so that the kingdom of darkness can come in and do the cursing. That's what's going on. Let's continue. In today's believing world, to say that the Almighty allows, now let me be correct. He's not cursing you. He allows us to be cursed, okay? It's foreign. It's unfathomable. You say that to some people and say, there is no way. In parts of Christianity, it doesn't exist. There's no such thing as demons. Maybe you don't understand that. The majority of you came from the churches. In the churches, there are some churches that do not believe that you can be accursed, that you can actually choose to abandon the Lord and to go into the other kingdom, to be exposed to the other kingdom so they can do what it wants to with you. If that's not the case, then what's being done here is that somebody with a sword, and you know who those people are, is coming and going, pow! And all that's left is there's no choice there. Look, if this is it, there ain't no choice. But that's not it. That is not it. There's no arm was cut off. Both the Lord is presenting to us so that we can make a choice, so that we can use our free moral agency, so that we can make a decision. And if we make the decision, whose responsibility is whether it's for good or bad? Ah, allow me. I'm going to get excited here. I'm glad that I have a little extra time today. This week's Torah reading, which means take a closer look. That's another way to say, Re'eh, behold. Take a closer look. Begin to observe and see what's available so that you can make the correct choice. This word is the same root as the Hebrew verb pa'al, to ro'eh, to see. It is interesting that both that this verb and the Hebrew word hineni are both translated as behold, which is to see, have it in front of you. Indeed, today's reading deals with the choices that we must make. He is telling his people, you need to make a choice. It's not the first time he's going to say it. He's going to repeat this again in about 3 weeks. We're going to repeat the same thing again. Why is that? Because we're hard of hearing, I guess, you know. Right? But the repetition means it's important. It's important. It's important. Today's reading deals with the choices that you and I must make. Either we're going to live a life that's dedicated to him, either we're going to take the bread of life from his hand. Yeshua is the bread of life, by the way. The word made flesh. And consume Yeshua. And do whatever Yeshua inside of us motivates us to do. Or we can just go, get over there. I don't want any part of that. Okay? And please note that the choice is about the mitzvot of Adonai your God that I am commanding you today, which is in Deuteronomy, which is the Torah. So he's presenting a choice. You can either choose my teaching, choose my bread of life, choose what I'm commanding you today. And Yeshua used the same terminology. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. Didn't he say that? Well, what are his commandments? Are they different than this daddy? They are different in the sense that he expounds on his daddy's commandment. His daddy's commandment said, don't hate your brother. Okay? But the Yeshua says, oh, the higher meaning of that is, okay, don't, by hating, you are murdering your brother. So don't murder your brother by not hating him. Oh, let me tell you something. In the church world, fire and brimstone. that I would have to have some fire and brimstone all around because I'm getting ready to. Okay? How often do you hear, I hate that person? How often do you hear, I didn't know you had a sister. Well, I do, but I hate her. I mean, you heard that? I guess not here. I mean, I've heard nothing. I'm one of those monkeys. I've seen nothing, heard nothing. Baloney! Baloney! Bologna. Which is not the real thing. Bologna. We say those things. We, the believing world, says those things. I don't like her. I don't like him. I don't like that dog. You know, I hate that dog. We just use the word hate like it's nothing. And Yeshua said, hating, in Yeshua's dictionary, it's the same thing as taking a gun and shooting them. So how often should we use the word, I hate somebody? I mean, is there anything that we can hate? There is one. Right? You know who it is, right? Satan and his kingdom. There is one. It's okay to hate Satan and his kingdom, but it's That was not extended to your brother or your sister or your aunt or even your dog. It wasn't extended to that. Just saying. In today's reading, we have to make a choice. Are we going to live a life that is dedicated to him and his Torah or not? That's all it's saying. Are you going to do it or not? These choices ultimately bring life and death. Therefore, the Bible says that the power of life and death is in the mouth, in the tongue. And to be careful not to use words. Marilyn has been, she's been in a platform about this. We've been married 47 years, I think, 46 years. And she's been preaching this message since I met her. Keep your mouth from saying things that are not good. I still hear people say, I'm so stupid. The problem with that is that you're doing exactly what this parashat said. The problem with that is that when you say that, you're accursing yourself. And you're empowering the kingdom of darkness to say, well, so-and-so said they're stupid. Let's go prove it to them. Let's help them be stupid. If you're getting uncomfortable, you're feeling good. It's exactly what the Holy Spirit wants you to do. So we need to not use. Be careful what words you use. Be careful what feelings we express. Because in doing that, we can accurse ourselves. We can get away from Adonai, get away from his kingdom, and become exposed to the kingdom of darkness. They're the ones that know about that stuff. And they know how to do it really well. Okay, let me continue. You got any more? Oh, I got another page and a half. So, okay, get comfortable. I'm about to make you uncomfortable. Everybody here is familiar with the story of Adam and Eve in the book of Genesis. Adam and Eve were made in the image and likeness of the Almighty. That's what it says. And they were given dominion. Specifically, he was given dominion over all created things. Right? Adam, that means he was given dominion over himself. Ah, yeah, exactly. He also has dominion over himself because he's created. Okay. I'm earning my keep today, okay? Or not. Yeah, Adonai gave Adam. Eve was not there yet. So technically, he gave it to Adam, a command. The command was given to Adam. You can eat out of whatever your heart sets your, whatever you see that you like. Seafood. All this food you see, you can eat. So they, you know, it was a Florida thing. Lots of seafood. All the seafood you can eat. However, okay, I'm also telling you there is one place, there's one tree that you cannot eat from. And the day it said, the day you eat of it, you will experience death. That command was given to Adam. Let's be technical here. Eve was not there yet. That's called free moral agency. That's the ability to choose for himself whether to do right or to do wrong. In fact, he showed the whole garden to him. It's all good. You can have whatever is in this garden. That you don't even have to, you don't have to toil for it. You don't have to sweat for it. I mean, it's like going to Publix with a free card. Okay? And he also said, you shall not eat from this fruit, from this tree. Did he change his mind? Did he? Okay, maybe he should have said it. You do eat from this tree. You are maybe that would have had some more effect. But, you know, the Almighty just said, not that one. Is he going to change his mind? Is he ever going to change his mind? This was a sovereign decree. This was a sovereign decree. It's irrevocable and it's forever binding because it was given by the Almighty himself. So yes, Virginia, I mean, you've heard that. Yes, Virginia, you and I are always free to make our own choice when it comes to the Almighty. We're free to make the choice to life, or we are free to make the choice for death. He created human life for a reason. Why did he create human life for? To make them slaves. To tell them what to do. To do them like robots. Let me program them. And if they get wrong, let me bring them over and change the battery and change the program. That's not what happened. Okay? He placed them there and said, we'll meet every day. We'll take a walk, look around the garden, check out the flowers, smell the roses, eat anything, and we'll have intimate fellowship, you and I. It's interesting that we don't hear Adam say a word. Adonai himself later on says, it's not good for man to be alone. So I'm going to make a woman from him, equal to him, but under his authority. Equal to him, but under his authority. The number one king. Sorry, no queens. There were no queens. It just gets a little more technical here, right? Because he created, and we see that, humankind, in this case, the man, Adam, means from the earth, to have fellowship with him, to walk with him in the garden, he desired that the reciprocal of that would be that Adam would then indeed love him and indeed be a friend, like a personal friend, like a buddy-buddy, okay? So Adam is in that position to be buddy-buddy with the Lord. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? Okay? If he's the sovereign one, is he not the sovereign one? Yes, he is. He could have chosen differently, but he didn't. He chose for us to have free moral agency. Why does bad things happen? You brought this. You did this. You burned this. Isn't that what the world does? Anytime something goes wrong, you. Far from the truth. It's totally far from the truth. He's been hands off since he created Adam and Eve. Continue. What happened when Adam failed to educate his wife properly concerning what Adonai said? Well, how can you say that? Because she's questioned. And in the response that she gives, it is clear that she didn't really totally understand what he himself got from Adonai himself face to face. The Bible doesn't record that he took Eve and went, "Here, Eve, here's what I'm commanding you to do or not do. Here's my choices for you." No, he did that with Adam. And then he gave him a wife. And she's under his authority, equal, but under authority. I dare say, I don't think Adam did a very good job communicating. So from the beginning, the man has trouble communicating, but the woman doesn't. So if you want her to communicate correctly, and you have the responsibility. I want to just grab Adam right now and say, "Man, train the wife in the way she should go." But you didn't train her. So then she has it in her mind when the enemy comes in and said, "He didn't say that. Didn't that the deal?" "Oh, no, no, no. No," he said, "no, we can't eat that because we'll die." So she got that from Adam. No, that's not what he said. He said something else. She had the information, like the way he got it, that Satan does not tempt Adam that way. Because he ain't going to go nowhere. Because Adam was face to face. He heard what he said. He was responsible to make sure she knew what he said. But she doesn't feel like she knows what she said. What he said. She's not have enough information. And said, "Oh, that's a nice interpretation of what he said. I like that. That fruit seems good to me. We can eat whatever's good." You see the kind of the how this is just getting off the path slowly? The Bible says that she ate of the fruit. That's not all she did. Pardon me, guys, I'm sorry. But she went to El Wimpo, her husband. We have been emasculated in this world, and we are kind of wimpos. He went to the wimpo and said, "Here, honey, I'm in charge of food." When Adonai called, did he call Eve? Who did he call? Okay. How's he going to fix this? We're done. Talk about undone, like the song. We're undone. Ain't got no way. But he loved the world. So he sends his son, and he tells her that he's going to do that. And he tells her, okay? He speaks second to her. But in speaking second to her, he makes the promise of the Messiah. Right? Are you with me, or are you? Did I lose you somewhere? Okay. In Isaiah, we read this Messiah. He was pierced because of our transgressions. He was crushed because of our iniquities. Wait a minute. Transgressions is sins, but iniquities is a different word. He was crushed because of our iniquities. The chastisement for our shalom was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned each and every one of us our own way. But Adonai has laid upon him the iniquity of us all. That's Isaiah 53, 5 and 6. This last verse is a great insight. This last verse actually agrees with the definition that I gave you here of a conscious and intentional offense. Here's the deal, okay? The inside is in the verse. The problem is that each one has turned their own way. You see it or you not see it? Do you see that? In here, it's giving you the reason, okay? The reason we've gone astray. Why have we gone astray? Because we have turned our own way. We have gone our own derech instead of going haderech with the real thing, okay? Each one has turned their own ways. Let me tell you something. Did Adam and Eve turn their own way? Absolutely. Well, let me tell you something. You are their descendants, and each one of us are guilty of choosing to go our own way. Each one of us is guilty of not accepting what he said. On the one hand, we can take this and make it the bread of life. On the other hand, I don't want any of that. My choice. My choice. Okay? I have done that. And so have you. So have you. I certainly do it, and you have done it. You see, it's all selfishly about us all the time as human beings. It's all about us all the time. It's how I see it. It's how I interpret it. And it's how I believe. I meet that all the time when I speak to people about the Messianic movement. Well, I don't believe that. Okay, so I'm talking to the greatest master of the universe because they're, you know, if they don't believe it, then forget it. It's all done. If we just accepted that, we would not be any good at evangelism. But the evangelists don't accept that. They go on to show the person, you have need of a savior. And you usually succeed. It's not what is relevant to me right now. I'm not interested in that. Our actions, especially when we're young, are based on the pronoun I. I. And the objective form of I, which is me. I, me. Here's the deal. I was young once. I was young. Can I say I was young and stupid? Is that okay? I'm no stupid anymore. We were born in iniquity, the Bible says. We were born in iniquity. Iniquity is turning your own way. We have turned our own way. We have that in us. We want to go our way and turn our own way. However, okay, free moral agency comes in, and we can make a choice. We can make a choice to say, I'm going to do what he said. And it will be life for me. I choose fellowship with the Creator through obedience. The definition of iniquity is further understood in Scripture when I do the following. Hear this one. This is a good one. Not everyone who says to me, Yeshua, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Okay, most people don't read that. It's like, that's not in there, so they go on to the next thing. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, didn't I prophesy in your name and drive out demons by your name and perform many miracles in your name? Then I, Yeshua, will declare to them, I never knew you. Get away from me, you worker of iniquity or lawlessness. Question. When do believers, okay, when is prophesying or preaching iniquity? Isn't preaching good? Isn't prophesying good? Hang on. When is casting out demons iniquity? Isn't that good to get rid of the enemy? And when is doing miracles iniquity? That's what Yeshua is saying. What is the answer? He gave the answer before he gave the rest of the one who does the will of my Father. So if you do any of those things not in the will of the Father, then it's iniquity. That means we should check with the boss. You ever check with the boss? Hey, boss! Is that okay if I preach this tomorrow? I actually did this yesterday for the Gazettes in time, okay? Because it gets to be late in the week, and I'm starting to get very nervous. I looked at the parashat, I've done all this, and in my human way, I was like, ain't none of it is saying a word to me. If it's not going to do anything to my heart, it ain't going to do nothing to yours. Because only what in the heart produces effects in the heart. It goes from heart to heart. And my heart's not getting it. So I made the prayer consciously, aloud, which is not the way I pray. So Marilyn could hear it and be my witness. Marilyn, I'm going to pray right now. And I prayed and asked the Holy Spirit to give me what he wanted me to do within a little bit. And I feel really good about it. Very good. Awesome. It's what he wanted. As believers, we're called to follow in the steps of our Lord and Savior, Messiah Yeshua. Right? But isn't it significant that according to the Gospels, Yeshua did nothing of his own will? How much did he do outside of the Father's will? Nothing. That means that he checked with the Father to find out his will. He didn't assume like we do. Well, this is good, so it must, you know, the Lord must be in favor of it because it's good. Oh, I guess you haven't been there. But only the will of his heavenly Father, John 6:38. Yeshua's refusal to follow his own will is lauded in the book of Hebrews. That's New Testament. Here's what it says. You have loved righteousness and hated lawlessness. That's iniquity or wickedness. Anti-Torah. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness above your companions. Speaking of Yeshua. In other words, Paul is saying, Yeshua, you did a great thing. A great, great, great thing. Look, it is a sovereign act of the Creator to give you and I free moral agency. You and I have the right to choose between good and evil. You and I are presented with evil and good. And we need to choose between His way or our way. His way is Yeshua. HaDerech Adonai. Yeshua's way or our way. Okay? But isn't it true that we humans continue to choose our own way? Oh, that's just the rabbi. I'm the only sinful one here. I forget that all of you are the saints. But because we forget our own way, everyone, how was it that it was said in the scripture? We, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us turned his own way. Therefore, Adonai laid upon Yeshua the iniquity of us all. There's your definition of iniquity. Going our own way. There it is. Going our own way. Okay? So the loving Father who loves us, who loves the world, sent his Son to bear our iniquity, to bear our self-will, to bear our free moral agency when we don't choose correctly and have another opportunity to come back to him. If we use the definition personal willfulness for the word iniquity, so here's an personal willfulness for iniquity. Scripture becomes much more clear. Okay? Psalm 119 verse, for example, 133. Direct my footsteps in your word and let no iniquity get mastery over me. Let me change the word. Personal willfulness. Direct my footsteps in your word and let no personal willfulness get mastery over me. Isn't that now make it very understandable? The scripture also makes a distinction between uncleanness and iniquity. It did in those verses I showed you. Here's an example, Romans 6, 19-20. For just as you yielded your body parts as slaves to uncleanness and lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness. So now yield your body parts as slaves to righteousness, resulting in holiness. When you were slaves of sin, you were free with regard to righteousness. So if you, instead of just going with what feels like, that's what I want to do, this is what my body wants to do, this is, we go, no. What do you want me to do, Lord? What is your perfect will? What do you want me to do? What do you want me to say? Can you direct my steps? Isn't that biblical? Direct my steps, Lord. Show me what steps to make. So there's the mystery of iniquity. The mystery of iniquity is that we will follow our own faulty reasoning, even when we have the truth available. His infinite wisdom. For the mystery of iniquity is already operating because they did not accept the love of the truth so as to be saved. Got it? They will believe what's false. They'll believe the lie. 2 Thessalonians 7 and verse 11. In reality, here's what happens when we do it our way. Sam, are you listening? We make ourselves God. We make ourselves above Him. Rabbi. It's a little hard. Yeah, it is. When we choose our selfishness, when we choose what we want, we don't ask Him. We presume that He's okay with it. That's what we do. Presume is P-R-E-S-A-S-S-U-M-E. As of you and me. That's what we do. And we shouldn't do that. What's the answer? Y-E-S-H-U-A. The way of Adonai. Haderech, the way of Adonai. I am the way, he said. Choose the way. Then you'll be in good shape. What does departing from iniquity then mean? In Matthew 7:23, get away from me, you workers of iniquity. What? How do we get away from iniquity, working iniquity? We get away with it when we say no. When we incline and willfully want to do, we say no, not what you want to do, what the Father in heaven wants done, what Yeshua, his Son, wants done. That will be what I will do. That results in good works. That results in faith and righteousness. When we depart from iniquity, that means get away from our self-will, okay? Depart from iniquity, okay? We will avoid what the Bible says happens when you go into iniquity. It's called a reprobate mind. A reprobate mind is a mind that believes the lie that we are equal with Him. We're not equal with Him. My thoughts, this quote, Isaiah. For as high as heaven is above the earth, so are my thoughts higher than yours. Okay? Well, how far is it from here to the heavens? Like infinite. So get away, workers of iniquity. When we depart from the iniquity of our own works, personal willfulness, we will be able to achieve the good works that are a result of the will of Yah Adonai. Because if we ask Him what He wants and we do what He wants, there are no questions. We are doing what He wants. And now that becomes the greater plan for the world. Let me say it another way. Every good deed must be motivated by God's love. Every good deed must be motivated by God's love, not by our own self-will, His love. The Apostle Paul was motivated by the love of Messiah in his ministry among believers and not his own will. 2 Corinthians 5:14. So, in closing, Elul starts Friday, the month of repentance, the signal that the high holidays are coming. May I suggest to all of us that we need to examine ourselves very carefully and scrutinize our self-will. May I make that suggestion? We need to scrutinize our self-will. If we have been yielding to self-will, we need to stop it and do just what he wants to do. Because remember this, he was wounded for my transgression. He was bruised for my self-will. That's iniquities. Personal willfulness. He was bruised for my self-wills. And Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh has laid upon Yeshua the iniquity, the self-will, and lawlessness of all. Shabbat Shalom.